Now, shall we all stand in the presence of God? We want to just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for every single person that is here that you have joined and planted in Cornerstone. We pray as we start this year, we want to first of all honor you, Lord. Honor the Father, honor the Son, honor the Holy Spirit. That without you, we are nothing, Lord. So God, we want to first of all honor you in our midst, in our lives, through the ups and downs in life, Lord. We want to honor you because when you honor you, you will honor us, Lord. So God, we thank you, Lord, for planting us. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for being there for us, for your faithfulness over us. And so we ask this morning for a fresh anointing upon each one of us, upon the one who is speaking, upon the one who is listening. Holy Spirit, we ask for a fresh encounter with you today. Open your word to us as we open our hearts to receive your truth. Let the word of the Lord come forth in its power and in its clarity. Speak to us as only you can speak. We commit the service into your hands. May today's word be life-changing and bring great honor to your name. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now, as we step into 2026, we are standing at the doorway of a brand new year, a fresh chapter, a new season filled with possibility. For some of you, this brings excitement. There are dreams in your heart, goals you're believing God for, and prayers you're hoping to see answered. But some of us, maybe 2026 doesn't feel new or exciting at all. It feels like a continuation of 2025. Unresolved problems, carried over worries, unanswered questions. If that is you, you are not alone and you're not forgotten. Because whether you feel excited or uncertain, hopeful or still healing, if you're still here and still standing, that means that the enemy has not won. Amen. We are here together, standing in front of a new year that God is already in, and he's still faithful, he's still sovereign, and he's still at work in our lives. And every new year, we see this all around us. Gyms will be packed, planners will be filled, budgets will be rewritten. Everyone is trying to upgrade something. Our health, our habits, our finances, skills, and even our productivity level. Because every human heart longs for renewal. Not just a new calendar, but a fresh start, a new beginning. But here's the truth that we must confront today. Most people, we want a new year, but we don't want a new way of living. We want change, but we resist the transformation process. We want new results, but we hold on to old habits. We want a fresh future, but cling tightly to familiar routines. Someone once said, insanity is this, it's doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. Now, spiritually, that is painfully true as well. We cannot keep living the same way and expect a fresh move of God in our lives. We cannot pray for revival while fiercely guarding our comfort zones. We cannot ask God to transform our circumstances while refusing to let Him transform us. Because if nothing changes in us, then nothing will truly change around us. God cannot bless the version of you that refuses to change. And so 2026 will not change simply because you want it to. It begins to change when your systems change. The way you think, the way you start your mornings, the way you steward money, the way you respond to God, the intentional choices that you make every single day. In fact, what we really need in 2026 is not a new resolution, it's a deeper revelation of who God is and what He desires to do in us and through us. And so I asked the Lord, what do you want to say to us for this new year? And one word kept stirring in my spirit, a word that I honestly tried to shake off because it is uncomfortable, it is inconvenient, and in fact, even risky. It's the word impossible. Because the more I try to push it aside, the stronger it became. Because the truth is this, as we enter into 2026, there will be moments that feel impossible, moments where you feel helpless, moments where life overwhelms you, moments where your strength isn't enough and your plans don't work anymore. And if impossible moments are unavoidable in life, then we might as well learn how to overcome it. When we think of impossible, we usually think of something big or unattainable, like a bad medical diagnosis, a financial mountain, or a broken relationship. But sometimes it can be something as practical and frustrating as finding a parking lot. I know some of you have this special anointing for finding parking lots in parked car parks. Unfortunately, I don't. My wife and I, we were in JB for a few days, and on New Year's Eve, we were planning to have a quick lunch and then head back to Singapore. But finding a parking lot during lunchtime peak hour in a popular area with free parking that has more cars than the available lots, to me, that already is something that feels almost impossible. The entire estate was packed. Cars were everywhere. Some even parked in motorcycle lots. It all honestly felt like we were living in the days like in the book of Judges where everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Now, honestly, I was tempted to park in those motorcycle lots, but I was also afraid of being caught by some of you traveling in JB. So I refrained. I waited. And while waiting in the car, I prayed. I said, Lord, you know this weekend I'm speaking about the impossible. I need a breakthrough on behalf of all the lovely people in Cornerstone who don't have the parking lot anointing. I drove around the estate a few times, and then I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me, wait in this spot. And so I waited. But instead of more cars coming out, more cars came into the parking lot, or the parking area. One stop in front of me, another stop behind me, and now I'm completely surrounded. Everyone's waiting, no movement, no hope. My faith started to waver. The petrol gauge was dropping. And just as I was about just to switch off the engine and just give up hope, a miracle happened. Now, this photo that I'm showing you of cars and parking lots may look ordinary to you, but to me, that's a picture of victory and of hope. Of all the parking spaces in that huge compound, this blue car drove out right in front of me. I raised a hallelujah right in the car, quickly took out my phone, took a quick picture as a Thanksgiving testimony, and reversed my car straight into that blessed parking lot. Now you can clap and praise God. Now, I shared this yesterday at the Saturday evening service. Two church members text me separately yesterday, posting similar pictures like this. Caption, anointing is flowing, praise the Lord. And then one of them even text me, Pastor, now can you pray for us to get a table in this eating place? To which I replied quickly, this one, I've got no anointing because I usually tapao and buy takeaway home to eat. We are all on this journey together. And so today's message is titled, Living the Impossible. God never puts anything in His Word to tease us. The Bible is not a book of unreachable standards or religious fiction. God doesn't dangle promises in front of us just to frustrate us. If God commands it, it is possible through Him. If God promises it, it is attainable through Him. If God declares it, then it is achievable through Him. So when Scripture uses the word impossible, it is not meant to discourage us, but to remind us that what is impossible for man, God fully intends to accomplish it by His power. And so in this new year, we want to see giants defeated in your life. We want to see you stepping into the things that once terrified you. And my text comes from two powerful moments in the Gospel of Luke, where Scripture declares nothing is impossible with God. Luke chapter 1 records the birth of Jesus. When the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary about the virgin birth, he declares in Luke chapter 1 verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." The birth of Jesus begins with impossibility, and God makes it possible. The word of God will never fail. Amen. No human effort, no scientific explanation, no earthly resource. It was just God. And then later on in Luke chapter 18, Jesus speaks to a rich young man who has high moral standards, influential, successful, and religious. Someone who had everything going for him in life and yet wanted eternal life, but without surrendering. And when he walked away, Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 27, "The things which are impossible with man are possible with God." Here, Jesus isn't speaking about career success or dreams. He was speaking about salvation. What Jesus was saying to that rich young man and to all of us today is this, that you cannot save yourself. You cannot enter the kingdom of God by your own effort. You cannot work. You cannot perform. You cannot behave your way into heaven. Salvation is humanly impossible unless God steps in. And he did. Now think about this for a moment. If the beginning of Jesus' earthly life required God's power, and the beginning of our spiritual life, our salvation, required God's power, then what makes us think that we can live the rest of our Christian life without God's power? The Christian life is not hard. The Christian life is impossible unless God empowers it. That means that everything that God calls you to do, every battle that you must fight, every promise you're meant to walk into, every giant you're asked to face, will only be possible when you stop relying on human strength and start living by his power. And so how do we live this kind of life? What does it take to live the impossible life in a very real world, which with real pressures, with real responsibilities, real challenges, and real fears? There are five essential areas that we need to grow in if we are going to live the impossible. And together they form the word power, P-O-W-E-R. These five areas are not things you don't already know, but they are things that we must never forget. And it all begins with the first one. If we want to live the impossible life, the starting point is not strength, but our spiritual posture. You see, before God works through you, he will always first work in you, because posture is everything. If your physical posture is off, your body eventually aches, your neck stiffens, your back tightens, and something feels strained in your body. In the same way, when something feels spiritually off, that when peace is gone, when the rest feel disturbed or distant, when joy is lacking, very often it is not a circumstance problem, it is a posture problem. And some of us are spiritually slouching. We are faithful on the outside, but on the inside we're resisting God all the time. We love God, but we are still negotiating with him. You cannot live the impossible life while bargaining with God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 tells us to present our bodies and our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your reasonable worship. In other words, surrender is not optional. Surrender is foundational for us. Abraham surrendered his future when he laid his promised son Isaac down on the altar in Genesis 22. He didn't understand, but he trusted God more than what he loved. And that surrender positioned him to receive covenant blessing from God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, surrendered her reputation when she said in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "Let it be unto me according to your word." She risked misunderstanding. She risked shame for having a child before marriage. She risked being judged by people who didn't know the full story. She didn't demand explanations from God. She simply yielded, and God birthed the impossible through her. You see, you cannot hold on to control and expect God to release his power. You cannot say, "Lord, use me," while quietly saying, "But only up to this point. The rest, I still want control over it." What we often don't realize is this, that what is precious to you is also precious to God. What pains you will also pain him as well. He's not careless with your life. He is not reckless with your calling. But he cannot transform what you refuse to surrender. So which area in your life is God placing his hand on today? I pray that you respond to him in your own special way. Now, surrender is a doorway where the impossible life begins. But surrender alone is not enough, because surrender is internal posture, but obedience is external expression. God doesn't just want a heart that agrees. He wants a life that responds to him. Which brings us to the second area, to obey God courageously. The impossible life doesn't begin with miracles. It begins with obedience. Most of us are waiting for God to move first. We want God to prove and then we will obey. We want God to part the waters, and then we step in. But again and again, Scripture tells us and shows us this pattern that miracles do not precede obedience. Miracles follow obedience. And one more thing, obedience requires courage. Courage to trust God when it doesn't make logical sense. Courage to say yes to Him when everything in you wants safety. Courage to step forward even when you cannot see the outcome. Because God's power is consistently released after obedience, not before it. So let's look at some examples from the Bible. The Red Sea didn't part when Israel prayed about it. It parted when Moses lifted up his staff in obedience to a command that made no sense to the logical mind. And only then did the waters split. An impossible pathway was created. The Jordan River didn't open when Israel stood talking about faith. It opened after the priest's feet touched the water. God waited for movement, and when we move, He moved. The walls of Jericho didn't fall because Israel discussed some strategy. They fell after days of seemingly pointless marching around the walls. Obedience that looked foolish in human eyes are powerful in the hands of God. What about the feeding of the 5,000? It didn't begin when the disciples analyzed the problem. Do we have enough money? Do we have enough bread? Do we have enough fish? The miracle began after the disciples started distributing what wasn't enough. And as they obeyed Jesus' command, God multiplied the provision, and they have 12 baskets of leftovers. Peter didn't walk on water while sitting in the boat. The impossible only happened after he stepped out. When obedience moved from theory to action. James chapter 2 verse 26 tells us this. Faith without works is dead. We all know this verse. But that means that if faith doesn't move, it is not faith. If faith doesn't move, it is not faith. It is just good intentions. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Chapter 11 verse 4 warns us this, that farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. In other words, those who wait for the perfect conditions will never sow, and because they didn't sow, they will not reap. Some of us are waiting for that certainty. We're waiting for convenience. We're waiting till fear disappears, or waiting until everything is safe, and then we move. But obedience rarely feels safe. Obedience often feels risky. And yet obedience is where miracles begin. God moves when His people move. And today He's inviting us to trust Him. He's inviting us in this new year to trust Him and see how He will move when you move first in your life. So what step of obedience have you been postponing? What instruction from God have you been delaying? And what yes are you still holding back from the Lord? May the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Now, the impossible life begins with courageous obedience. Yet, even after you surrendered and you've obeyed, there'll be moments where your emotion fights you. Moments where fear whispers louder than faith. Moments when your feelings scream, "This is impossible." And that's why we want to come to the third area to living the impossible life. And that is to walk by faith and not by feelings. Because feelings shift, faith stands. Feelings are real, but feelings are not reliable. They fluctuate. Feelings are affected by how the stress, the pressure, the exhaustion, and the circumstances. But faith endures, because faith is not anchored in emotion. Faith is anchored in God. The impossible life requires faith that outlasts emotion and outlives circumstances. Hebrews chapter 11 shows us a long list of men and women who face impossible situations and turn impossibilities into testimonies. Not because life was easy for them, but because their faith was anchored in God. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, was an interesting story where the Roman centurion said to Jesus, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed." He believed Jesus' word carried authority all by itself. Distance didn't weaken it. Circumstances didn't limit it. And Jesus marveled at his faith because he trusted God's word more than what he could see or what he could feel. So faith is not just believing God can, but faith is believing God will do what he said. And faith may not always make sense as well, but faith always makes room for miracles. Amen. Tell you another story. 2 weeks ago, my family finally arrived in Jeju, South Korea, for a long-awaited family holiday. When we arrived at the airport, I walked to the car rental counter to collect the car. The lady at the counter asked for my driving license, which I confidently presented to her. She pointed to the photo that I'm going to show you, and when I saw that photo, my heart sank. Because to drive in Jeju, Singapore driving license is not good enough. You need an international driving permit, of which I forgot to apply. All my hopes and dreams were gone. I see them slipping away. I could feel some of the dagger eyes from my family. Dad, we planned so long for this holiday only for you to ruin it. I felt so bad. Five of us with all our heavy luggages stuck on a foreign land for the next 7 days. Suddenly we were staring at what felt like an impossible situation. How are we going to move around from place to place? There are five of us. We will probably need two taxis because they only allow four person in one car. How are we going to travel from place to place with no guarantee that two cars or two taxis will arrive at the same time all the time? And we were staying in two different locations over the 7 days and had planned to explore all the nice cafes, the local eateries, the forests, the nice beaches and mountains. I thought to myself, I am going to ruin my whole family vacation. But I have a little bit of faith. So I went one corner and I prayed. I prayed in one corner because where I was, it was full of feelings. So I went to one corner and prayed. When there's more faith, I feel more faith. I said, God, I don't need feelings now, I need faith. We have a lot of feelings now. After I say a simple prayer, I say, God, I trust you. You have not brought us this far just to bring us this far. I went back to the lady at the counter and she suggested a chauffeur. Why don't you try the chauffeur service? And she showed me the cost. It's four times the price of the car rental because they charge by hourly rate for the chauffeur. I said, no, this is not going to work. I went and prayed again and I went back to her. And then something unexpected happened. She offered a huge discount for us, a car with a driver for half the price of the entire car rental. And what looked like a problem became a blessing in the end. And then at the end of our Jeju trip, I realized this, it was a blessing indeed. Because many places in Jeju have tight ropes and limited parking. Night markets were crowded and only the locals know where to park. When some of you recommended places for me to go in Jeju, you never tell me where to park. You just say, go to this place. Thankfully, we have a driver. If not, I'll be stuck in the car. Can't imagine me if I've driven. I'll be likely waiting alone in the car for half the time of the 7 days in Jeju while my family were out there enjoying the food, the sights, the scenery, and the sound. And then our Jeju photo album, we only have four faces, right, instead of five, because I'll be waiting in the car while they take all the pictures. The Lord knows. God turned what looked like an impossible setback into provision, protection, and grace. Faith does not deny reality. Faith brings God into your reality. So stop measuring your future by your own strength, your pedigree, and your education. Start measuring by God's faithfulness. Faith says, God, I may not see it, but I will trust you and I will still step forward because you are already there. Now, even if you surrender, even you obey, even you choose faith, there's still one unchanging truth, and that is this, that you and I do not have the power to live the Christian life on our own. The Christian life was never meant to be sustained by natural strength or human determination. And that's why we need the fourth key, and that is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not by effort, not by gifting, not by personality, not even by our discipline. Zechariah 4, chapter 4, verse 6 says that not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The impossible life is never achieved by trying harder. It is only lived by leaning deeper into the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 declares this powerfully. It says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, Christianity is impossible without the Holy Spirit. He is not your emergency plan. He is not your last resort when things go wrong. He is your only plan. And I pray that all of us will prioritize the Holy Spirit as our only plan in life. Because the most dangerous Christian life is not the one who is struggling. It is the one that's running on human strength, but calling it faith. You know, let's take the smartphone, for example. You can have the latest model of the smartphone, expensive, high-tech, full of amazing features, packed with capabilities. But when the battery runs and hits 0%, it becomes nothing more than a dead block of glass and metal. It doesn't matter how impressive your phone is, because without power, it is useless. Some Christians look polished and put together on the outside, educated, gifted, charismatic, capable, but inside they are spiritually empty and drained. They are running their lives, ministry, calling, marriage, parenting, their work, and even planning how they plan for their future, not on the Holy Spirit's fire, but on human fumes. And that is when burnout happens, and that is when discouragement crashes in, and that's when people collapse spiritually, not because God failed, but because they have tried to live for God instead of living through God. For some of us, we don't need an upgrade this year. We just need to recharge. We don't need to push harder. We just need to plug in deeper with the Holy Spirit. And so which area of your life have you been relying more on your strength than on the Holy Spirit? I pray that the Lord will speak to us in this service. Because when the Holy Spirit empowers you, you will do what you never thought you could do. You will endure what you never thought or never believed you could endure. And you will overcome what once overwhelmed you. And lastly, as I bring this to the landing, there's one last essential anchor that we need. Because faith needs something to stand on. Courage needs something to cling to. And dependence on the Holy Spirit needs direction from God. And so if you want an unshakable life, you need to have an unshakable foundation. And that's where point number 5, you need to be rooted in God's word. Because you cannot stand firm in a shaking world if we anchor our lives to opinion, popularity, feelings, culture, trends. The impossible life is built on what God has said and not what the world is saying. Jesus himself showed us how important the word of God is. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus faced Satan in the wilderness, he didn't negotiate, he didn't reason, he didn't enter into a theological debate. He answered every temptation with this phrase, "It is written." Jesus overcame the enemy not with emotion, but with scripture. So God's word is not just to be studied, it is meant to be lived out. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God gave Joshua, a new leader, stepping into seemingly impossible responsibility. He gave Joshua this instruction. "This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And when you do that, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So in this verse and in our lives, it tells us one thing, that success wasn't tied to strategy or clever ideas. Success was tied to scripture, meditating on it, obeying it, and living it out. Every storm that comes into your life is not meant to destroy you. It is meant to drive your roots deeper into God's word. Because if you're rooted in headlines, you will panic. If you're rooted in opinions, you will drift. If you're rooted in fear, you will weaken. But if you're rooted in God's word, you may bend for a while, but you will never break. So don't build your life on culture. Don't build it on popularity. Don't build on social trends or public opinions. Build your life on what God has already spoken to to you. And when the storms of life try to shake you, God's word in you will stabilize you. Amen. Cornerstone, let 2026 not become another year of predictable Christianity for you, another year of cautious faith, another year of comfortable obedience. Let this year be a year where we dare to say, Lord, if you're calling me deeper, I will go deeper. If you're calling me higher, I will go higher. If you're stretching me, I will not resist you. Because the impossible life is lived by God's power, P-O-W-E-R. To maintain that posture of surrender, a heart that is yielded fully to Him, to obey God courageously, to walk by faith and not by feelings, empowered, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and to be rooted in God's Word that will anchor you in truth, to have that unshakable foundation in your life. Because what is impossible with man is possible with God. So live the impossible life God has intended for you by His power, for His glory in 2026 and in every season that is ahead of you. Amen. Shall we all stand in the presence of God and look, we want to look to Him in prayer as I ask the worship team to come. Let's close our eyes and let's look to the Lord in prayer. This is a sacred moment. That today, if you are saying in your heart, Lord, I don't just want a new year. I don't want the same old. I want change. I want a new way of living. I want a new posture of surrender. I want to obey you courageously. I want a new level of faith. I want deeper dependence on you, Holy Spirit. I want renewed hunger for your word. You see, the problem with us Christians, that have, especially those of us who have been Christian for a long time, we become too familiar or over-familiar with a God that we hardly know. And that is always, that's my prayer for myself this year. God, I don't want to be too familiar with you. I've been a Christian for a long time. I want that freshness to come back again. I want that childlike faith to come back again. I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be jaded. I want to be fresh in you. I want life of God to come to me and through me. And so if that is you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. If that is you, would you lift up your hands? And when I see the hand, I will pray for you. Lord, I don't want to be jaded. I want to just sit at your feet again and just to love your word, to love you. Even before I do anything for you, you have blessed me with so many things. You have blessed me with potential. You have blessed me with possessions. You have blessed me with so many things. But I want to put that aside. And I just want to sit at your feet and say, Lord, in this new year, let this be my posture of surrender before you. Lord, you see the hands that are lifted up all across this place. Wherever they are standing, wherever they are seated, I ask, Lord, from the front to the back, to the left to the right, that you will touch them where they are. Seal their decision for you this day, Lord. God, even as they honor you, that you will honor them, Lord. Wherever they are in the life, in the ups and downs of life, that their faith will be unshakable because they have learned to live the impossible life. Your word says that with men, this is impossible. But when we are with God, all things are possible. We thank you, God. Your word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has ever imagined that what God has prepared for those who love Him. Lord, bring us into that place, even as with impossible situations is before us, when we are with you, that impossibility will be turned into a testimony, Lord. God, that no eye has seen, Lord, let us not limit what you're going to do in our lives and in this church. And we pray, God, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, God, we pray with our hands lifted up that we surrender our hearts afresh to you. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Empower us beyond ourselves. Give us courage to obey. Strengthen our faith beyond feelings. And root us deeply in your word. Do what only you can do in our lives and make possible what is humanly impossible. Be it in sickness, be it in business decisions, be it in our school, in our work. Use our lives for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's close with this chorus, How Great Thou Art. And let's give God all the glory and praise and worship Him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shanda katarabason. Lord, we thank you that you're giving Cornerstone a new song, a new sound that is coming, Lord. And with that new sound comes new strength, Lord. Lord, that we, apart from you, we can do nothing, Lord. Lord, let that new sound and that new strength carry each one of us in our own adventure with you, that we will grow from grace to grace, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. Lord, we thank you that this house is a house of strength, but not yet not strength of our own, but strength that comes from you, Lord, that this house will do the impossible, not because we are good, because we're clever, not because we have all the wonderful things in life, but we can do the impossible because God is with us. And so, God, we thank you for this time. We pray that you seal your word in our hearts this day, Lord. May your word bear fruit, Lord, in our lives, Lord. More fruit, much fruit, and fruit that will abide forever. And Lord, this morning we thank you again for everyone that is here and those who are tuning in online, that you will bless them. Would you lift up your hands as I speak the Lord's blessing over you? The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. And so may the Lord put his name on you. We pray the blessings of God the Father, the blessings of God the Son, the blessings of God the Holy Spirit be with you and abide in you now and forevermore. And everybody said, amen. One more time, let's give God a big praise offering.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.